Oh my God. Who am I?
I am so happy you brought that up because that was the answer. That was the reaction to the best blessing slam I've ever done. So when people sneeze, right?
Don't ever tell Kyle, bless you.
What? No, it's not. It's not like an attack.
It's an
just,
attack?
No, it's not. It's so when people sneeze, somebody inevitably says, bless you. It's like, it's something some people have to do. They can't not bless somebody after they sneeze.
Yeah.
I think that is completely absurd.
Yeah.
But I think it's fine. Like if you'd like to do that, that's totally cool. But it's hilarious to me. And the one thing I like to do.
It's become a sport for you.
It's become a sport for me. And when I hear it, I say, no, thank you. So I was in the changing room the other day at Fred Meyer, right?
Just out for a night on the town.
And I'm building up the sneeze and I know it's coming and I know there's people outside. You know, there's this gal waiting for her boyfriend to change. You're waiting for me to change. And then there's some other couple changing.
Which, by the way, is the opposite of usual. Like we were both waiting for the dudes to change and like getting them different sizes and stuff,
yeah.
Which is rare. Like I've never been doing that.
Yeah. And so I feel a sneeze coming on and it's like winding up and I'm just, as it's happening, I'm just hoping that somebody says, bless you, because I'm ready for it. And of course I sneeze really loud and this girl goes, oh, bless you. And I go, no, thanks. Like that right outside, really loud. And her reaction, she goes, oh my God, like that. And I heard it and it was the best thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Such a good blessing slam. Welcome everyone to another episode, a Thanksgiving special of Should We Get Married with Kylie and Kyle.
Woo, oh yeah.
Here we are, we're doing it.
A special
it's
day.
Live.
Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving special. A thankful episode, if you will.
And thank you for listening and thank you for your support.
So thankful.
The best thing you can do is to tell a friend, please friend us or like us or whatever fucking, what is it? Follow us on Instagram at SWGMpod and check out our website, shouldwegetmarriedpod.com. Leave an anonymous question or an anonymous anecdote, story, a tell-all tale at the bottom of our website. We would love to hear it and talk about it on the podcast.
Yeah.
And we are a podcast about relationships. We are asking the question, should we get married? Should anyone get married? And it's, you know, we're just kind of navigating the cosmos of relationships. Very open-minded, vulnerable, sometimes humorous, sometimes comforting discussion of all things relationship.
Yeah.
And also, you know, our day-to-day living.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
It's complicated. And it's and it's not. And it's simple.
Yeah.
It's simple and it's complicated and it's boring and it's exciting.
Yeah. And there's going to be some dud episodes. So if you're hanging on with us this far, I appreciate you so much because you're on this journey. We're on this journey together, man.
Dude, I love podcasting.
Do you?
I love podcasting, man. And sometimes also I hate podcasting, dude, because it's
okay,
a thing you have to do.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We're kind of locked in.
It's a thing that's like not sitting on the couch that you have to do.
Right.
But once we get going, it's awesome. And I like it.
Yeah. We've painted ourselves into the corner.
Yeah. No one's heard from us in a month.
Yeah.
This is... Hi.
Well, let's talk about that month.
How are you all? It's been a month.
Hello, and let's talk about that month. I want to do a quick diet check-in.
Okie doke.
And I don't know if anyone remembers, but I know you do. I was completely off sugar.
It's a roller coaster.
I was on this like path to greatness, and
it was great.
It was amazing. I was feeling very good. I was completely off sugar.
We were having vegetables for dinner and stuff.
Oh, I was doing vegetables. I was in there sauteing vegetables. Yeah. And you're like, wow, who is this person?
You're like, what's this? Yeah, I'll try it. I was like, what?
And for the record, I do eat vegetables, but they're usually tomatoes and lettuce.
On a burger.
And pickles on a burger or on a sandwich. But anyways,
BLT, lettuce and tomato.
I've fallen completely off the diet.
Mm.
And it's,
yeah.
Here's the thing though, is I had lost 10 pounds and I've held that.
Yeah.
So that's good. That's a net positive.
Okay. So what happened? Because you declared very clearly on the podcast on the last episode,
yeah,
that your next cheat day would be Thanksgiving Day, which was yesterday.
Right.
However, you're that. No,
no, no. Here's the thing is I strive to have this really amazing diet and healthy lifestyle, but it's always been really hard for me. I've always had this roller coaster life of diet and exercise, and sometimes I'll get in really phenomenal shape, like six pack shape or close to it. And I feel amazing and I'm eating very well. And then I inevitably, stop doing that. And I rest on my laurels or what, however you want to call it. I stop dieting. I stop exercising consistently and I just start enjoying, the couch lifestyle or the chill lifestyle or the going out to eat all the time lifestyle,
which is,
I reach a victory and then I relax. And then inevitably I feel bad. I'm saying inevitably a lot right now. And then I start to feel bad again. And then I get back into shape, but it takes a long time for the pain to build up, for me to get back in there. And so, you know, right now I'm real fat.
You're not fat.
I'm fat for me. It's not like
you're fat in your head.
You keep saying that, but I'm like half kidding. I'm not like super serious, but I do feel uncomfortable.
I'm going to derail for a second because I realized earlier today, something else you've been saying a lot.
Uh-oh.
You say, come to find out a lot when you're trying to make a point.
Yeah. There's all these, what do you call those? Like points of phrase or segues or turns of phrase. I don't know. It's a really, there's things that you can really button up and tidy things up in a conversation. And I use them.
Come to find out, there are a lot of things you can say to segue. And you also say at the end of the day.
Oh yeah. Dude, when you put at the end of the day before something, I mean, you really drive a point home. That's for sure.
You're a point driver.
I'm a point driver.
Classic.
I like to drive points.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry to get off the diet thing, but so you've just been what, eating like a doofus for a couple weeks now?
Well, you would know because I'm eating.
And I'm doing the same with you.
Yeah. We're eating these things together. I'm talking donuts, you know, potato chips, sugars.
It's fine.
It's okay.
It's fine.
I'm staying hydrated. So there's a bonus there. And I've maintained my 10 pounds off, but I want to go further and, progress, not perfection, I guess. Right.
Yeah. Our lives have been absolutely hectic, crazy for the last month. We've been doing a lot.
I'm glad.
It's hard to stay on top.
I'm glad
of
you
stuff.
Brought that up because we just redid our floors in our house.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And let me tell you something. What do I say?
Come to find out.
Come to find out. Having new floors in the house is a complete and total game changer. And it will inevitably change your life.
At the end of the day.
At the end of the day, it changes your life. It really does. I can't believe how amazing our house feels and looks and all that stuff.
Yeah. So we moved out.
Oh yeah. We had to move in with my mom.
But we also literally packed up all our stuff and all our furniture and moved it out into the garage.
Yeah. And downstairs.
We could have just moved maybe.
Yeah, it was really close to doing a full move for sure. Yeah.
And then we actually physically moved our bodies and all three of our pets to the apartment above the garage at your mom's house.
We packed up our two little cats and Salem dog.
I'm just feeling stressful just thinking about that again.
And it was nice though. Yeah. I liked it.
I did after we were settled in. I was being like a crazy helicopter cat mom.
Well, it was tough because my mom's husband didn't want the cats upstairs and there was some miscommunication there. So we kind of had to get all on the same page. And I totally understand that because you don't know if a cat's gonna spray or pee on the carpet or scratch a couch or any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And everybody thinks they have their pets trained. And So it was good to be cautious, and we respected their boundaries. And
oh yeah.
Okay. It all ended up great.
Everything was fine. In fact, it was great until the absolute very last day when we were getting to go home. One of our cats like jumped up on the windowsill and climbed behind the mini blinds. Yeah. And you know how they can just kind of like bend out a little at the end.
Uh-huh.
Okay. That happened.
Yeah.
Normal. I went and like bent them back the other way and they just snapped off. Two of them snapped off. So now I have to replace the blinds.
Yeah. We got to replace some blinds.
We like almost made it.
I'm kind of bummed that my mom still made us replace the blinds.
Oh no.
It was like two blind blades.
Yeah.
Like at the ends.
But I would feel bad if we didn't. I mean, that's our fault.
No, it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do.
Anyway,
it's the right thing to do.
We've been there. We've been doing that. I was traveling for work a few times.
I got to say though, that week of the flooring, it went by kind of fast.
Went by kind of fast. And then we didn't want to put any furniture back in our house because like space is kind of nice.
Yeah. Having not much like
minimalist.
Yeah. Minimalist stuff in the house felt really good. And we're kind of carrying on that vibe, that trend into replenishing our house with our furniture. We're leaving some things out. We're rethinking some things and, it feels good. It feels good to kind of hit the reset button or go back to the drawing board, and the floors really make everything better.
And we got a king size bed for the first time in our lives.
Yeah. We went to Costco
and it's on the floor.
We put it right on the floor. Well, we don't have a bed frame yet and I'm uncompromising with the bed frame. I'll let you explain it if you want.
No, that's fine. What I'd actually like to say is we've made it through all of this, honey, together.
Oh, yeah.
We agree on a lot. We also disagree on a lot, and that's fine. But we work through it. Sometimes we really disagree. But it's like, it's all good.
Yeah.
There's been no major fights. Mm-hmm. Remodeling a house, demoing stuff. We decided to do a bunch of drywall ourselves.
Yeah. And there's still a lot to go. We still have a lot of mudding and taping to do.
Staying up in that little apartment. Turns out we're good. Like in a tiny little space together, we're fine.
Yeah.
So congratulations.
Honestly, that loft wasn't much smaller than our entire house.
Yeah, that's true. You used to live there.
Yeah, I lived there for about 6 months, maybe 4 months. Something like that.
Yeah.
When I was 27, I moved in with my mom.
Holy shit.
Very, very quickly. Cause I needed to move out of a house, a roommate situation.
Yeah.
And then I moved in with some other friends, another roommate situation. And that was better. It was better for me.
Did we already say that we realized that I'm now the age that you were when we met?
No, you haven't said that yet.
Cause I'm 31 now. Wait,
I was 30.
You were 30?
No, I was 31. Yeah,
because you turned 31. I made you the Zelda cake.
That's true, yeah.
Right?
You did make me a Zelda cake. That was amazing.
Man, that was a long time.
And then I said, I love you for the first time that night.
On your birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had already said it long before, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You really put together something on my birthday. It really, really touched my heart.
Oh.
And I realized that, wow, this person, Kylie's amazing. And I already knew that. But it was deeper. It was deeper that time. Plus, you had already said I love you to me and I didn't say it back. Like what, a month before that?
I don't know. I don't remember when it was.
And it was awkward for a while. And then we kind of stuffed it down, swept it under the rug.
Yeah.
And then it became time like, well, I'm going to need to say it here soon. And you were probably like, I'm going to need to hear it soon or we're going to have to call this relationship off.
I definitely, when I went over to tell you that in person, I didn't expect you to say it back. In fact, I knew I was going to tell you that thing and not have you say it back.
Yeah, but you expect me to not do it, but also like, he should do it type thing, right?
I don't know. I don't remember what I felt. I think I was just so nervous.
But also confident.
Was that confident?
Yeah, to actually do that and pull it off.
We sat on a bed, crisscross applesauce, face to face. And I said weird words that included, I love you at some point, and looked each other in the eyes and then we hugged. That's what I remember. Is that what you remember? You're making pancakes.
I don't remember the moment. I remember when I told you I love you.
Me too. We were standing in your kitchen in your apartment in Everett.
You know, I don't have a perfect memory. I'm not claiming that I...
Isn't that what you remember?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was it.
Okay.
See, I'm inherently self-centered, so I remember the things I did.
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay.
It's easy to remember firsts, though.
Yeah,
I agree. I feel like everyone remembers their first things.
Yeah.
Like the first time...
Go ahead.
Eat back.
Wow. The F word?
Mm-hmm.
What, the first time you did?
Oh, yes. But also the first time we did.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
I can probably remember the first time with anybody.
Yeah, I remember that very well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
Should we describe it?
No.
Okay. So to
maybe later.
To add to the crazy, it's 6:30 on a Friday.
Yeah.
We are getting...
Black Friday.
Oh, it's Black Friday, you guys.
By the way, can I just say this?
Yeah.
I just want to say this. Black Friday, we were talking about this earlier.
Yeah.
Can you not do that where you're trying to hustle me along?
Oh, I'm not
saying the thing.
Doing anything.
Oh, you're totally doing something. Black Friday, the deals aren't good. They're just like everybody's doing 10, 20. Some companies are doing more, but 10, 20%, I'm sorry, 10 or 20% is not Black Friday.
No, they just think
that's
they
everyday
have to
stuff.
Do something because it's Black Friday.
Yeah, so everybody's talking about, hey, shop with us Black Friday. Every company under the sun, hey, get 10% off, get 20% off, up to 60% off. And it's now, it used to be something interesting where you go in and get the doorbusters.
You like 50, yeah.
Yeah.
I want a company to like be severely low on the margins that they're making on for one day out of the year.
Yeah, man. Come on.
To give back to people that shop year round.
To be fair though, a lot of the companies, the margins are already low.
Mm.
Yeah. Like Best Buy, their margins are low.
Mm.
You know whose margins are high? Is Apple. The companies that make the things. And I'm not saying every product, but I'm saying like TVs. I don't think they're making, you know, but a couple $100 on those TVs.
Fair enough.
Like any TV.
Yeah. I think there are a lot of clothing companies that could
You might know this. How much does a big box store buy an Xbox to sell to a consumer? Do you know? Or can you say? Are you allowed to say?
I can't disclose that information specifically, I have a good idea.
Can you say publicly if the margin is large or small or medium, or is it probably best you didn't say? So Kylie works for a company that makes video game peripherals, controllers and branding and products. And
it can be complicated.
They're an incredible company, but you have strict NDAs.
Yeah, it can be complicated. Every retailer is a little different.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone, and there's things you can do. You can spend co-op to work out different types of promotions too, kind of on the back end to sell in and then sell through on the customer side. And like,
yeah,
it really depends and it changes your round and stuff like that. And that's not like my specific area of expertise either, but
can you say or can you not say?
No.
Okay. All right. My guess is that the margins are pretty low.
Well, you're dealing with two sides. You're dealing with the company that sells to the retailer, and you're dealing with the retailer that then sells to the customer. So those are two separate margins. But mm-hmm. You're talking about what the retailer profits.
Yeah. And I know, well, like grocery store, like their margin is like less than 5% on it's like 1 to 3% on an item, but they said it's such high turnaround. That they make money.
Well, they sell. So like a Best Buy, if we sell them, you know, several thousands of something, they're selling several thousands of something at a low margin. It ends up being a lot of money.
Yeah,
obviously.
Right.
But like, I'm going to do the math here.
Can you say it? Are you doing the math of which you can say?
No,
out
I'm
loud?
Just going to give you an idea.
Okay.
Something.
So Kylie's typing into the calculator to give me an idea. And then can I say the amount?
Maybe like 30%?
Wait, you just said it. Margin? Do we have to bleep that out?
I'm not saying for what. I'm not saying.
Okay.
Well, not for an Xbox.
30%. That's a good markup.
I think I did the math wrong. Okay. Anyways, we should move on.
Yeah, let's move on. But the at the end of the day here.
Okay.
At the end of the day, all I'm saying is that Black Friday is not what it used to be. And in my opinion, never will be again. Never will be again.
Yeah.
Because everybody's doing the thing.
There was one time in my life where I went and did like the Black Friday thing with my mom. Like me and my sister, we stayed up on Thanksgiving and we like headed out at midnight and did the thing, like went to the places and we were exhausted and it was like an adventure.
I did it
once.
And
that was great. And then guess what? We never did that again.
What did you get? What were you in for? What did you want to get that was...
I couldn't even tell you. I think we were just doing it to like shop.
Did I, have I told you what I went for?
I think you went for something video game related.
Yeah, of course.
Zelda?
Zelda. They, Nintendo released on Black Friday a Zelda themed 3DS. It was the,
I remember that.
The original 3DS.
The gold one?
No.
The Triforce?
It's black and gold. That one's a 3DS XL. That one that I have too. I have too many. I've bought too many themed things. And I need to open up an eBay store. That's actually a goal of mine. I need to open up a shop.
Yeah. What are you going to call it?
Well, my eBay handle is Nifty Tomato. So
what?
Yeah. So it's just like, that's what it'll be, I suppose.
Nifty Tomato?
Yeah.
Nifty Tomato?
Nope.
Well, how'd you come up with that?
When I came up with it...
Okay.
It's a long story, actually.
Oh, I want to know, actually.
No, it was totally random.
Okay.
And, you know, kind of silly, so I went with it.
Okay. How'd you come up with Tame Kyle?
Tame Kyle is my Instagram handle.
Uh-huh.
You can follow me on Instagram. Tame Kyle has nothing to do with the band Tame Impala. In fact, I didn't even know about
the
band.
That was before Tame Impala was Tame Impala.
Yeah, they weren't famous or anything, and I had no idea it was a thing. But Tame Kyle is a reference to my sobriety.
What?
Yeah, it's I'm tamer than I used to be.
You're now tamed.
Yeah, or well, now I am.
Before
being
you were,
in a relationship,
you were the wild Kyle.
We've been in a long-term relationship. I've been sequestered to tameness.
No one's shackled you down.
Yeah, you have.
No.
Yeah, you have. For sure.
You can walk out.
Oh,
at any can time.
I? Anyways, that's what it means.
Cool.
Okay, you asked.
I had another question.
Okay, what is it?
I forget what your Reddit handle is. Something weird.
Listen, my Reddit handle
it's
is private.
No, okay. Am I thinking of
Reddit's the Wild West, baby?
How did I come up with Muffle Bison? Do you remember that?
My gamer tag is Farfel Bean.
That's what I meant. Yeah, Farfel Bean. How'd
so
you
if
put
you're
that?
If you're on PlayStation Network or Xbox Live, friend me at Farfel Bean, and we can be friends online. If you're a gamer,
Farfel
you
Bean.
Listeners out there,
how do you come up with these Farfel Bean?
That
Nifty
was
Tomato.
So I came. It's just random, and it's something that nobody would have.
Yeah, but do you just pull that out of thin air or do you look up random words?
No, completely thin air in the moment.
Do you remember what Muffle Bison stemmed from? It was some kind of joke we had for a long time.
No, but that's your gamer tag.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I don't know why.
That came from an inside joke and I just can't recall.
I don't remember either.
Oh, man.
You know what else I say a lot is I double up the yeah. I go, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you do.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Oh, that was such a good blessing slam. I love it when somebody, I sneeze across the room and somebody on the other side of the room goes, oh, bless you, like that. And I go, no, thanks.
Oh, my God. Best.
I get these looks and it's just nobody thinks I'm kidding, but I'm also half serious. Like, you don't need to bless me. Who are you to bless anyone? Anyways,
but
it's a joke, but it's
just
also
like, who's this guy?
Yeah.
Just say no, thank you.
I love that.
Just something that everyone in the world does.
I love to disrupt.
Yeah.
you know, not a lot, not a lot. I don't want to be, I don't want to be a jerk,
just
jerky jerk.
Today we're having a romantic lunch at Hagen's and eating sandwiches because we were starving.
So starving. We got the nerves.
This old man pushes up this cart and wants to see what's going on with the Apple Cup on the TV. And he goes right up behind like Kyle's chair. Just stands there.
First of all, fuck this guy, man. Shut up. This guy is the worst.
Hang on. And he just stands there and Kyle's like looking over his shoulders, looking at me. We're giving each other eyes. I'm kind of giggling and we're just like waiting this guy out. And he goes, he's just like kind of standing there just so close. And there's no one else. There's no one else around.
It's an empty, he comes right behind us. It's an empty grocery store dining area.
And we're talking and Kyle starts to go, I'm just going to stand there. And I raise my voice over yours because I don't want him to hear you start to fuck with them. And so I go, no, not that. And I keep talking to you like, just going to stand there. And I'm like, God damn, can't dig you anywhere.
Yeah, but he ended up being really cute. He ended up being really nice. He just, you know.
Yeah, he goes, oh, we're beating him again.
We're beating him again.
And then we knew he was a Husky. So all's good.
The Apple Cup was on. He needed to see the score.
Yeah.
But I don't feel bad about it, by the way.
I know.
For the record, at the end of the day, I don't feel bad about it. Inevitably, I won't feel bad about it.
What I was trying to say an hour ago was to make life even crazier. We just got back into our house and we're leaving on an 8 a.m. flight tomorrow to go to
Orlando
Universal Studios.
Yeah. I have the pre-flight jitters. I have the pre-vacation jitters right now. The pre-travel jitters.
Anxiety.
Yeah. I got some anxiety. I got some restlessness.
Even though we're going there for pure fun, it's like a thing because it's a 6-hour flight.
Yeah. It's not like we're going to LA, which is, you know, you're kind of up in the air and then back down. It's nice. Yeah. Yeah. But so we're flying
it's
all the way.
It's a 1P flight.
California
is a
0P.
A 1P flight.
No, 0P for me.
Orlando's like a 3P flight.
You think so? You're going to go 3 times on that airplane?
If I stay hydrated.
You know what my biggest fear, one of my biggest fears is?
Yeah, I think we've talked about this.
It's taking a dump on an airplane. I don't want to dump out on an airplane and to even make that worse, diarrhea on the airplane.
And
don't want to do it.
Triple whammy. Someone's for sure waiting outside the door.
100% always, without a doubt, inevitably someone is waiting on the outside, man.
And you're just in there honking and someone's on the outside going, oh my God.
Oh man,
I'm excited.
I can't wait to be there, like to be landed in Florida and get checking into our hotel and you know thinking of something yummy to eat for dinner and then planning out going to the park the next day. I can't wait.
We're going 3 days to Universal, like mainly to do the Harry Potter stuff, and day 4 we're probably gonna hit Disney World. Maybe even another night.
Star Wars, specifically.
Disney World has like 5 parks within it.
Right, but we're going to the Star Wars.
Which is called Hollywood Studios or something, is that park.
Okay.
Then there's Epcot. Then there's Magic Kingdom. I think we're going to do Epcot.
Like, I want to go to all of them, but Star Wars is... They don't have it up here, and they don't have it in California. I don't think.
Someone needs to tell us if we have to choose 2 parks, which parks to go to, the Star Wars one, and then what else? I was thinking Epcot because Magic Kingdom is kind of like the basic Disney shit, which you can do in LA.
Yeah. I don't want to just like, as much as I love Disney, let's do something.
But we've never done Disneyland together.
But then they have the Guardians of the Galaxy ride. I want to do that.
That's at Epcot. I feel like that's like the adult Disney shit. But I don't know.
Well, let's do that. That's what I want to do. And Universal Studios over there, it's like 2 or 3 times as big as California. So I'm really excited. I'm so pumped. I'm going to get those. I've been talking about this.
Are you going to talk about food?
I talked about this on the last podcast. I'm getting one of those Homer Simpson donuts. It's going to happen for sure.
I'm going to have to help you eat it.
Yeah, I hope you do. That's why I want to share that experience with you.
Yeah, we'll take a photo.
Yeah.
There's something about going on a trip to go somewhere like to a man-made thing that was made specifically for like humans to just have fun.
Yeah. It's so cool to go there. You got to break off some money though. That part sucks.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. It does put a little dent. Does put a little dent in there.
Doesn't make a dent.
But it does. It does make a dent.
No, it does make a dent.
But it does make a dent.
No dents.
It does though.
No dents.
And because it makes a dent, that hurts a little bit. But when you're there, you just got to let go and go with the flow and enjoy the Hollywood. And there's like the city walk. Go to movies. Go to dinners. Oh, man.
Oh, baby.
It's tomorrow.
Baby.
Here we go. But okay. Also nervous. But this is a great segue.
Nervous.
Because without a lot of things in my life, I wouldn't be able to afford this or enjoy this with you. And, you know, I'm very thankful for that. Very thankful for that.
Awesome segue.
Is that good?
I wanted to do a Thanksgiving edition, a Thanksgiving podcast where we say what we're thankful for.
Let's do it.
Like real talk.
Yeah.
What we're thankful for. So would you like to go first?
No, you can.
Oh.
I segued for you.
Okay.
Because this is your segment. You wanted to do the thing.
It's very, very top of mind right now, but I'm super thankful to just have a home. And it makes me realize, I mean, I get very sad when I drive down even Broadway and Everett and I see those who don't have a roof over their head. It makes me very sad. And I don't want to ever take that for granted, no matter what the home looks like, how big it is, whatever, whatever. That's third world problems. Like, I'm happy to have a home. And on top of that, I get to share it with you. Mm-hmm. And so that is what I'm most grateful for. And then I'm grateful that my family is alive and well, even if we're not together, even if we're not talking, they are healthy. And we have a lot of close friends in our life right now that aren't, are not healthy. And that's hard to watch their family members go through that. So thankful for all those people. And the third thing is I'm grateful for the self-awareness to work on growth and like understand at least a little bit what my character defects are and where I need to learn and grow and where I can be okay with myself and confident and love myself. So just like that awareness, which is, you know, newer for me in my later years. So I think those are my top three.
Those are good, honeybee.
Thanks. Do you have three?
Yeah, I have a few. I want to say this though. The gratitude list has been a key component in my life, spiritually and physically and mentally. And it's just like the minute basic of basic gratefulness things. Like literally I have water to drink out of the tap. Can be a really silly thing. Like, of course we do. Yeah. I mean, that's not a big deal, but to really think about it, to really take a step back and look at it objectively, and then to look at it on a micro level, just grateful for everything from the engineering to get it into my home all the way to the fact that we have it and it's okay to drink. And you know, the fact that water, we're made up of mostly water, the human body, and it gives us life is really amazing too. I can really unpack the gratitude of simple things when I stop to think about them, because I take them for granted all the time. And the biggest ones is having a roof over my head. Mm-hmm. I share that same gratitude on the list as you do. I spent a fair amount of time locked up, and we were just talking about this the other night. I went to county jail over here, Snohomish County Jail. Mm-hmm. Spent a lot of time in there, 22 hours locked down facility. You get one I think it's 1 hour of rec, and then the rest you're eating food. It's really hard. And now I own a home in Everett, and I can see, not from my house, but not very far from my house, I can see County Jail. And
you drive past it all the time.
I drive past it all the time. I see it when we're out eating dinner, when we're walking, when we're taking the Lime scooters around. And I have nothing but humble gratitude for the fact that I had a lot of help and a lot of friends and a lot of amazing people. And I had the fortitude and character awareness to get out of that situation. And it took a lot of hard work and a lot of fall downs and get ups. But I am so very grateful for a home that we live in and we take care of, and that, you know, we have some extra scratch to put new floors in. It's really quite something. And it's really hard to put it into words of how amazing it is. The second thing is, the people in my life. I had one of the best Thanksgivings I've had in a long time, and there's a lot of sober people around me and a lot of non-sobers. All are welcome in my life. And this particular group was warm and welcoming, and the food was amazing, and good open-minded conversations and incredible times and laughter, and it's really good, you know.
It was awesome. It was so warm over there.
Yeah.
Like, and that was my first time meeting a few of those folks. Mm-hmm. Like the person's house we went to. But a few of them are friends. And I felt as good as I can on Thanksgiving without seeing a single family member.
Yeah. And I had, I was fortunate enough to, and I, you know, often I think I don't deserve this, and I haven't put in the work to get this stuff, but I had texts and phone calls from friends and people that I'm in recovery with, and just people that I'm just friends with, talk to them, and men and women saying, I love you. I'm grateful for your friendship, and I value your company in this life. And that's a big deal, because I need that thread of depth. I need that. I'm a sensitive person, and I need to feel those connections with other people. I need to be able to say, like, I love you. And, you know, whether it's via text or in person, give them a hug.
Yeah.
It was a good day. Thanksgiving was a good day this year.
It was.
The third thing I'm grateful for, man, I don't know. I just felt like I said like a million things there.
You kind of covered it.
I think the third thing I'm grateful for is our relationship. And for you to be so fucking cool and so down to earth and so open-minded to do this crazy podcast thing with me. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I'm always presenting and pitching silly, crazy ideas of being, let's call it what it is, being too vulnerable, being too open for most people. This stuff is uncomfortable to say out loud, but it's been nothing but beneficial to me and to our relationship. And it's been very therapeutic. And,
yeah. Oh yeah.
And you to be open-minded to a recovery lifestyle. And that means many things to many people. But I love that you're open to this journey and helping and bettering yourselves and us as a couple and, you know, enjoying that process. And it's always three steps forward, two steps back. And, you know, we get into some tuffles, some big ones, and that's part of the deal. But I'm really grateful for you and your friendship and your love.
Oh man, that was really sweet.
That good one?
Yeah. I wish I would have made that one of mine, but I feel like I say that all the time.
It honestly goes without saying, yeah.
Yeah.
But it is good to say. And I said it.
You did say it. Your three blew mine out of the water.
No, not at all.
I'm so grateful for that too. It's funny that you say that you're glad that I'm open to that lifestyle, because I feel so fucking lucky that like I stumbled upon this recovery thing that I didn't even know was a thing, you know, this world and the atmosphere and the people are like the best people I've ever met. People that have been to dark places and just chat about it like it's the weather.
Yeah.
And it's fucking all good.
Yeah.
And everyone's just like honest and open and like going beneath the surface, I guess.
If there's one hard principle, a hard heart of hearts life lesson that really came to a light this year for me, and I already knew it and I had already been practicing it, but I had some really amazing conversations within this paradigm, is being vulnerable is a strength. Mm. Without a doubt. And putting things out on Front Street, damning the torpedoes and telling someone how you truly feel, but also being aware that it's okay to stumble through that, and some of it's going to hurt. And some people aren't going to take it in the way I need them to take it in, but do it anyways and find the people who will listen and will support me in the way I need has been incredible this year alone, with the podcast and some amazing conversations with friends and family. It's been a good thing.
There's this like wave of, I don't know if it's becoming a little bit easier to talk about in general for people, or if I'm just now like noticing them, or it's come with age. I don't know, but I don't follow celebrities. Like, that's not a thing I do. I don't follow like Kim Kardashian and whoever.
You follow celebrities. Like, you like bands and Dax Shepard, you know?
Some more. Yeah, like under the, like people that make things I like, I guess. But I don't follow people just to follow them. But there, I've stumbled upon these like amazing women artists that like put things out that I'm just glad that they're willing to say, I guess, that other people aren't saying on social, or just like being vulnerable and being honest, like you're saying. And like, it's so wonderful. Like, Lisa Congdon, she's an artist, and Emily McDowell, and there's this, I wish I knew it now, because there's this Instagram that's like not your therapist or something, and she writes little notes on Instagram every day. Anyway, you can like find that stuff now just out in the world.
Yeah.
And I'm drawn to it, and it's like really cool that people are doing that.
Yeah, I agree. I think, and everybody's different. Maybe vulnerability isn't a thing for, I know it's not a thing for a lot of people. It's not something they value as much as I do, and that's totally cool. But the idea to find your people, to find people that support you and lift you up and carry you through to a better you, is so valuable and so important. And to look for that and to be able to draw boundaries against people who don't support you and are negative, half glass empty. You know, I haven't had to cut all of those people out of my life, but I have trimmed the fat, if you will. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are gone, and they're still acquaintances, but they're not day to day, week to week, month to month, maybe once a year, maybe none ever. But it's important to find your people and to reach and work towards your goals and your values as a human being, and always be open to learn new things and to better yourself. And by yourself, I mean myself.
You're my people.
I statements.
You're my people.
Yeah.
Okay. I have more Thanksgiving questions.
Oh, okay. All right.
We have to talk about food.
Okay. Yeah. Let's talk about food.
Okay. We have to talk about what your favorite Thanksgiving dish is.
So like, easy.
Traditionally.
Stuffing.
Stuffing.
Without a doubt. It's stuffing. Yeah. Without a shadow of a doubt, it's stuffing.
I've started to love stuffing in the last few years. That's now one of my favorites, but like I didn't like it growing up.
Maybe
it's because I only had one kind all those years.
Was it stovetop?
I don't know.
Because that shit's good too, man.
I don't know.
Our friend made it from scratch the other night.
Oh,
holy.
He made everything Toledo's. From scratch.
Yeah.
But my absolute like favorite thing that must be on that plate
mm-hmm.
is cranberry sauce.
Oh.
And a lot of people don't agree with that.
I don't know how you can not agree with that. It's like a jam. It's
yeah. I put it on my turkey. I put it on my mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
It's gotta be there.
It's a nice little hit of sweetness. It's not totally sweet though. It's got a little bitter, like in a good way.
And
it's good. It's a nice little hit of flavor and sweetness and color to the plate.
It's pretty.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you hate? What's your least favorite Thanksgiving dish?
Oh, sweet potatoes.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of sweet potato, really anything. Although I'll sample it, I'll throw it on the plate, especially, you know, yesterday I threw it on the mm-hmm. plate. There's some pecans on the top. It was good. But I don't like sweet potato dishes.
Actually, the old school traditional mashed potato thing with the marshmallows on top of Thanksgiving, I've never liked that.
Okay. Yeah,
I don't even know what that is.
I don't like that either. But anything like sweet potato French fries, I don't
what?
Like. Yeah, I don't like sweet
I
potatoes.
I love sweet potatoes.
I'll eat them. It's not like I can't physically put them down my throat. I just don't like them.
I don't like anything that's on the plate that's just like taking up room in my stomach, but I'm not just in love with as it goes down my gullet.
That's fair enough because you're really packing it in.
Yeah. Like so. I can't waste time and space with like a green salad.
Oh, really?
On the plate.
Interesting. What?
It's got to be like, you know, some sort of like winter salad at least.
Those seven layer pea salads with the bacon and the, how about those? Do you like those?
I mean, I'll put it on my dip. I'll eat it.
I like those.
Don't need it. Don't need it.
I like those a lot.
Sometimes they just have like sour cream in them. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What else you got? What else Thanksgiving thing you have?
What's your favorite Thanksgiving tradition? Like maybe from growing up or okay. you've always done or?
My favorite, absolute favorite Thanksgiving tradition is what we're doing right now. I don't like it when grace is said just because I'm not religious. But it's essentially the same thing is to go around and say what you're thankful for.
Yeah.
I really love that. I think, again, it can be seen as silly, but it's so cool to do that, even if people are saying the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
Like, I enjoy this company, you know, and this food and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's really cool. You get outside of your comfort zone and saying, you know, I don't want to disparage religion or saying grace or any of that. That is incredible for if you're doing it. That is an amazing tradition in and of itself. But for me, I'm not religious and, but it's essentially the same thing. I just, you know,
well,
do it without the,
if you're religious and you want to say grace, but then on top of that, everyone could go around and say something they're thankful for. I think that's a nice touch.
And I kind of want to go out on a limb here.
Oh,
and I might ruffle some feathers.
Oh, what's your favorite thing to do?
But I think here's my opinion.
Okay.
Is if you invite people over who aren't religious, you should leave the religious stuff out of it. I think it's the same way if you're a vegan family.
I think you might have it backwards.
Oh, how do you mean?
I think if it's your house, you're hosting, that you can do what you do and people can join in or not.
Yeah, but if I were...
But the same as if you're religious and you're going to a non-religious household and they don't say grace, that's it. You're not saying grace, right?
Yeah. It depends on the household. But if it's a focal point of the before eat the food tradition.
Oh, like everyone hold hands and say it out loud.
Yeah. I'm okay. Yeah. Holding hands isn't a part of the thing I'm uncomfortable with. It is the tip of the spear into whatever dogma and again, if you're a believer of anything you believe in, I support it. But I just think that it would be extra super cool if a religious family, if I went over to a religious family and they kept it totally open to whatever anybody believed in, they didn't do the traditional, it's our house, so like we're doing our thing.
Like a non-denominational grace, like get up and say, I'm so happy you're all here. I want to say, like they say a grace, but instead of saying God or whatever, they say to whoever you believe in or to whatever you believe in or to nothing.
Nailed it.
If that would be nice,
but it's not necessary. I'll hold the hands. I'll sit there. I'll stay quiet. If there's a Lord's prayer, I'll just kind of be quiet and do my own thing.
Yeah.
But I'm not on board. And if you want to bring someone like me on board, who's doesn't follow or subscribe to the thing, whatever your thing you're doing, make it, you know, open, but also it can still be a part of it or not. I don't know. It's just my personal outlook on the thing.
So your favorite Thanksgiving tradition is saying what you're grateful for.
Yeah. Which is basically saying grace.
Not necessarily.
Yeah. I don't know.
And do you have a least favorite Thanksgiving tradition?
Yeah. When it gets super religious. Yeah. I want everyone to feel welcome, and there's a way that can be done.
Okay.
Which is to, leave the, you know, the avenues into your personal belief structure out of it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay. That's fair. Just my opinion. And again, it I'll go along with any ride.
You can go with the flow.
I go with the flow.
Oh my God.
But if there's an amen said at the end of the thing.
Amen.
I always go namaste.
Amen. You do. And you say it loud.
I say it a little. It depends where I'm
You're
at.
Basically saying no, thank you.
Most of the time,
and then someone goes,
I just stay quiet.
God.
Most of the time I just stay quiet. But if it's a place that I've been a lot, I'll let them know like, hey, this, not everybody is the thing you are type thing.
Man, you're such a rebel.
Is that being a rebel or is it just saying like, hey, there's other people in the world who believe different things?
It's both.
Okay. It's a little bit of both. I like being a little bit of a rebel. Yeah. Maybe I'm not so tame, Kyle, after all. You should have seen me when I was just Kyle.
Just wild Kyle.
Wild Kyle.
Okay, let me tell you my favorite traditions.
Okay, yes, please do.
Every year, my dad would play Alice's Restaurant. It's like a really long, long, long song.
Oh, yeah.
Arlo Guthrie?
That sounds right.
Okay. Yeah. And it goes, you can get everything you want at Alice's Restaurant. And it's 30 minutes long ish. And we would all pretend like we were so annoyed and we hated it. But, you know, fast forward to now, I have it on record and I usually play it now. And it reminds me of my dad. So it's something he did that now I love.
Yeah.
Like, we are such a bunch of sourpusses to just be like, oh, dad, you know?
Come on, dad.
Come on, dad. Oh, my parents. And then every year we would hop in the car and road trip to Olympia to my grandma's for Thanksgiving. And that, like, the whole family would congregate there. And that those are the best memories I have ever.
I miss the old, when the whole family isn't broken up by divorces and, you know,
age
and all this, you know,
different places,
weird catastrophe travel moments.
Yeah. And, the best part about that is there was, you know, we had to set up extra tables. So there's an adult table and there's a kid's table, and me and my sister and the other, you know, cousins and stuff, we're all stuck at the kids' table, but me and my sister were always older than like our second cousins. And our Uncle Wade would always sit with us at the kids' table. Like, even through, we were in high school sitting at the kids' table, and he'd sit there and just chill with us because he was like a big kid at heart. And that just, I still love that. He just sitting there, him having us pull his finger and shit. I love my Uncle Wade.
Yeah, me too. He's a good dude.
Those are my good times.
What do you hate the most?
Hate?
Yeah. Maybe hate's too strong,
I hate that in general that holidays can, like, if there's anything going on in your family, if there's any sort of riff, if there's any sort of family stuff, holidays just bring that to the surface.
Oh yeah.
So I don't like that.
That's what they call the old elephant in the room.
Yeah. I don't like that. I've done a lot of work in like therapy and with role models and people and just like time and age, of getting to understand why this used to happen. But when my whole family would get together and like my initial family, I just felt like I was always the one that was picked on, with my immediate family. And, like I would always be so on edge emotionally at family gatherings and just prepared to take something personally. I would very, very often, like a joke would be made or something would be said, or I was just like the classic irresponsible kid or whatever, but I thought I was a pretty good kid. So anyway, I was just always waiting for something to be said and I would leave the room and just go cry. Mm. Like that happened kind of a lot. Something would be said, there'd be laughs, whatever. It was, no one meant it to like truly hurt my feelings, but I was so just insecure.
Yeah.
I had such low self-esteem that I would like leave and like cry it out and have to come back. And I was just like waiting for the next one to hit. That, I don't miss that.
Well, I can really relate with that. Like, it's really easy to be misunderstood in the family dynamic. Mm-hmm. And, families have different expectations. And, from what I have heard, you're definitely not irresponsible at all. Because I'm me and I was for sure irresponsible. So yeah, that stuff's really tough. People, you know,
also when you're a fucking kid, yeah, you should be irresponsible.
Yeah, for sure. You should be allowed to make a lot of mistakes. Absolutely.
You should be able to fuck up. You should be able to be a little dick sometimes.
Yeah.
But I was just doing my best.
Yeah, of course you were. Yeah.
Doing my best. Most people are just doing their best they can.
That's so true. Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes some people's best is really shitty.
Yeah.
And I actually have to remember that in the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm.
It's like everyone else there was just doing their best and was probably just having a good time.
Yeah.
So that's an important lesson we're learning right now.
That sucks, honey. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm really happy you're talking about it.
This one time. I'm going to say the R word.
Okay.
Okay. Again. So joking around, my grandma called me retarded.
Oh, that R word. Okay. I wasn't sure where you're going with this.
Oh boy. Yeah.
By the way, for the record, I still think that's okay to say.
Yeah, you do. You don't say it though. Like you're respectful. You don't say it, but you like, you know what I mean? Anyway. Yeah, she called me that one time, like her and my sister were just joking around. I don't even remember what age we were. I was so fucking mad about that and upset and took it personally. Like I wanted to call my mom and everything. Like I think we called my mom. That's about all I remember from that.
Wow.
And I'm sure my mom wasn't happy. I don't even really remember.
Yeah. Yeah. It's as kids, we can, you know. We can get pretty sensitive.
I feel like my grandma was holding me down, tickling me or something. I just have that in my head. You know what? Loved my grandma so much, by the way. Yeah. Side note. May she rest in peace.
Yeah. She's dead now.
Dead grandma club. I have zero grandparents left.
I have two grandparents, but I am as well part of the dead grandparent club.
Yeah. Yeah. Most of us are probably.
Yeah, a lot of us are. Yeah.
When a lot of people that are older than me go, oh yeah, my grandma, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you still have a grandma?
You still have one of those? I know. I can't believe how young people are now.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I'm 37 and that's like old man to a lot of people. Any 20-year-old walking around, they look at me and they go, well, that dude's like an old guy.
Middle-aged.
What the fuck?
That guy's lost his cool.
I am
cool, not cool
speaking
anymore.
Speaking of thankfulness.
Okay.
I'm not thankful for that point of view.
Age?
Yeah, I think, you know, age is a real, real son of a gun. Real, real twisty bitch.
I'm not thankful for, like, sickness. For especially when it happens to people who, again, are doing their best, are seemingly healthy and have done the right things and have good karma and are good people. And then out of nowhere, they get sick, sometimes fatally sick.
Do you believe in karma?
I guess in a whimsical way. Sure. I haven't thought so hard about it.
Yeah.
But I was also trying to like slowly...
No, I know what you're doing.
Segue?
I know what you're doing. I just think
you're going to.
But I think like, I don't know if I believe in a karma, but I think putting in positive and good work is beneficial. But oftentimes you don't get any rewards from it. But I think that's important too, for humility's sake. Doing a good deed without any recognition is so important.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, we have some friends that they're going through some stuff.
Yes.
And I love them dearly. And we have a friend who has ALS. Mm-hmm. And she is going fast and it's not easy. And you know, it's a rally the troops type of situation. A lot of friends, a lot of family, a lot of meetups and mm-hmm. hangouts and hard talks, lots of vulnerability, talking about death, talking about life and life lived. And,
it being the end really is the kind of conversation
really
right now.
Heavy, heavy things. My friend, I've known her for a long time. She's been sober for over 40 years.
Yeah.
That's bonkers. But anyways, she gave me her ukulele.
Yes.
She wanted me to learn Blackbird.
She wanted you to learn Blackbird and you did it.
I had never learned Blackbird on the guitar or anything. And ukulele's, I think it's a little tougher. I've learned a few lines of it on the guitar and it was easier than this.
Ukulele, it's a specific sound and it's hard to, I mean, I listened to you over a while, like get through those chords and it's a different sound on ukulele. You had to figure that out.
Yeah. I was really nervous about it. And then, I finally cracked it and I had a recital over there with our friends and with her and,
she was crying. Everyone was crying. And then he went into another song and everyone cried even harder and the tissues went around.
And that's why I did it. Feel the tears. I feed off of human tears. Yeah. No, it was a really touching, special moment. And I was just nothing but honored to do it. And it really woke up a lot of music stuff in me to crack a song like that. And I'm sure there's a lot of people who are like, Blackbird's easy, but it wasn't for me. It was a pretty tough song to learn.
Well, not only that, but you're having to sing at the same time.
Right. Yeah, sure.
You're having to sing in tune, like while you're playing this thing that you just learned.
Somewhat in tune. It's best insane. I can.
And you're going to play it.
Yeah. You want me to do it? Should we end the podcast that way?
I think so. This has been plenty of talks.
Listen, we're really thankful for you listeners. Mm-hmm. Very, very thankful. And, I can't believe we have any listeners, to be honest. I didn't think we'd get any and, we have more than I thought we would ever have. And it's growing slowly, but surely. We have the small scrappy community, as I like to call it. And, a lot of gratefulness for that. A lot of positivity from this group. And, go ahead.
I also want to add that in the beginning episodes, there were a lot of topics and I really enjoyed that, but we've sort of shifted into just talking and chatting and that's great too. But I'm curious if anyone has like topics that they think it'd be cool, you know, relationship wise or other that, we can chat about. Yeah. I'm open to suggestions.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, of course we are. So, yeah. If you want to tell us anything, follow us on Instagram at SWGMpod or check out our website, shouldwegetmarriedpod.com.
Yeah.
And again, can't say it enough. There's a fucking anonymous box down there. You can leave a thing.
Yeah.
If you want.
I feel like people have asked the questions they've wanted to ask. And yeah. So that's really slowing down. Oh, I asked. Oh, man. I forgot.
What?
I asked yesterday on Instagram. Do we get... if people had questions and we have at least one.
Let's do those. Let's do them another time.
All right. We'll do them another time.
I'm just saying that because I'm always saying like, hey, leave us an anonymous thing. So if that's getting annoying, I apologize. But without further ado, I just got to do a little quick setup before I sing this thing.
Happy Black Friday.
Happy Black Friday. Okay. Let me see your mic. Check, check.
Can I record you?
Yeah. Let me get comfortable here.
For this moment.